The title of my message you see in the bulletin is Jesus' Words for Sarah. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of you are off the hook. Because I hope and pray, and as I've tried to work through what I want to say, I'm doing two things at the same time, speaking to her, but also speaking to us. So please don't put the off switch on and think that it only has to do with Sarah. I want to begin by reading a passage of Scripture, John 15, 1 through 11. And it's found, if you're familiar with John at all, in a place called the Upper Room. It's a discourse that took place with Jesus and his disciples in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And before I read this verses 1 through 11, I want you to understand the motivation behind these words, because it's very important to appreciate, and you know this in relationships with people, it helps to not just know what people say to you, but also why they say it. And sometimes we can receive things better when we understand the motivation behind them. And the motivation behind the words of in the upper room is found in John 13, verse 1. And I believe this verse sets the tone for the rest of the upper room discourse. It says in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And everything that follows, and these words in John 15, come from a heart of love of Jesus to his disciples, and certainly a heart of love for you, Sarah. So that's how we have to see this. Even when words are hard, they're given in love. So let's listen to what Jesus says. Passage that may be familiar to some of you, but so deep, so rich, and so relevant. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." I want us to just stand back for a minute and get the big picture of this text before we get into the specifics. The first thing is that Jesus lays out foundations, foundational truths that are essential for every believer in order to glorify him. That's the big picture. What do you need to know in order to glorify him? And it comes about by maintaining a fruitful, obedient, and joyful life. It's those things that glorify God. These things are more critical, perhaps, for Sarah, because she's going to be placed in a location where there's going to be hardship, overwhelming need, and intense spiritual warfare. And perhaps in one way, this passage might be put into a survival packet that would be given to missionaries who go in difficult circumstances. Jesus takes something common that everyone knew in the first century, a grapevine, and he uses it as an object lesson, probably on the table that where the disciples were sitting. And he speaks figuratively about a relationship between him and those who follow him. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And his Father is the vine dresser. Now, in verse 1, if you have verse 1 in front of you, Jesus makes a very important statement that also sets the tone for this passage when he says, "I am the true vine." Now, a good Jewish person and his disciples were there, and they all understood the Old Testament. How well, we don't know, but they would have understood that Jesus was talking there about Israel. The nation of Israel was called in many places, in Psalms, Ezekiel, Isaiah, the vine. It was referred to symbolically by God himself as that vine which the Lord took out of Egypt and planted into a land that he prepared for them and drove those nations out so that vine could flourish and grow. But we know the sad story from Old Testament history, do we not, that Israel was never consistently faithful. And they rejected God and were stiff-necked and disobedient. And so the kingdom was taken away from them. But Jesus has done something that the original vine could not do. And that is, he obeyed the Father perfectly. He satisfied the righteousness of God in every way. He did, both in motive and behavior, what Israel and what we cannot do, and that is satisfy the law of God. He becomes the covenant keeper. And then, beyond that, he took the curses, the wrath, the judgment that his people deserved, and took them on his own life on the cross and rose again from the dead. So when he says he is the true vine, he's making a statement about himself, his ministry, his life, everything that he's done up to this point and would do the next day, that he is the faithful and true vine. He's true because he's the only one who could do it, and that is satisfy the righteousness of God. He's the only one who reveals God to us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one whom God speaks. Hebrews says that God spoke through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. He is the only one in whom we can find life. There is no other salvation given among men except through Jesus Christ. And he is the only one who can give us purpose and meaning to our lives. He's the only one who can give us the strength to actually live out the Christian life in the way that he calls us to do. So the point is, when he says, "I am the true vine," he is saying, "I am trustworthy, I am true, I am faithful." And all the words of promise that I'm going to share with you in these next few verses are grounded in that truth. He's not to deceive us. He's not to confuse us, because he's proven himself trustworthy and true. Later on in this great upper room discourse in Jesus' priestly prayer to the Father, he says this in John 17:4, "O Father, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished what the work you have given me to do." So when he says, "I'm the true vine," he's not lying, he's not deceiving, he's saying, "I am trustworthy and true," and those who know him and those who walk with him in trust and obedience will be fruitful and joyful and will glorify the Father. Listen to what he says. "Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." promises, wonderful promises, but only could happen because he is the faithful and true vine. But then he says something else about his father. He says that his father is the vine dresser, the caretaker of both the vine and the branches. And the father and the son always work in unity with one another. And the father watches over the vine and the branches. And the father, like the son, longs for the branches to be fruitful. He says that he will make them fruitful by pruning them so they'll be more fruitful. And he also knows who are the real branches and who are the phony branches. And the ones that are professors only but not bearing fruit, he takes them away. So Jesus and the Father work in harmony to one another. Now, Sarah, I have a couple of words to say to you in application to this. We know and have heard all the way from the video to your brothers, to your friends, and everyone is here in this room. You're the same age as my daughter. I've seen Sarah grow up in this church. We've seen you grow. We've seen you mature physically, spiritually. There isn't anybody in this room who would not say amen to your call. We've seen the beautiful fruit, your love for the Lord, your love for people, your desire to make people whole physically and spiritually. And so we stand with you. And we want what God wants, and what God wants for you is that you would glorify him by being fruitful, by being obedient, and by being joyful. And this is a promise and a want that Jesus has for all his branches. Now, if I was to stop here, I wouldn't be true to the passage because there's a condition. And these are conditional promises, not unconditional promises. And the conditional promise is found in a word that Jesus uses 10 times in these 11 verses. Abide, 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 abide. I think that's 10, maybe that was 8. I just wanted you to hear it because it is amazing that how he repeats this word. We think when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, wow, we better stop and listen. But he's used a word 11 times. So I think we better stop and say, okay, I think there's something he's adamant about. And the adamant thing that Jesus is about, that there's an absolute necessity for the branches, and especially those who work and minister in difficult places where there's overwhelming need and challenges, to live moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, continuity and consistency of abiding in him. He's emphasizing something critical. He's telling every believer in this room, and especially you, Sarah, that spiritual life, spiritual growth, fruitfulness of character, fruitfulness of good works, fruitfulness in ministry, fruitfulness in prayer, fruitfulness in consistency, inner joy, inner strength, will come over the long haul only if you abide in Jesus Christ. He repeats himself, the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there's a warning here by Jesus, and the warning is so needed because all of us made in the image of God, and especially people in the 21st century, with the gifts and talents and years of education, the latest technology, the wealth of materialism, the rapid flow of information, it is so easy to do things in our own abilities and deceive ourselves and think that we are trusting and walking humbly before God. We can fool ourselves, that we can expand the kingdom because we're smart, we're good, we're organizational, we're administrative, we have all kinds of toys that are at our fingertips, and think we're expanding the kingdom of God when we're not. It's only through humility and dependency and allowing Christ to flow through us is where real ministry takes place. He says in verse 3, you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And that's a word having to do with justification, of being saved, of being forgiven, of being reconciled. And we know we're saved by grace through faith alone. It's something that Jesus does, not us. But the thing that can happen to any one of us, including Sarah, is to move along in ministry and think that, I got this, God. You know, I'm pretty smart. I'm good. I can handle it. And the reason we're prone to do this is because we have a sin nature. Though we're forgiven, there's a sin nature in each one of us. And it rises up its head from time to time in pride, in self-sufficiency, in independency. But Jesus is saying something so clear. No, 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 no. You must abide in me. You must abide in me. His point is that you cannot do the Christian life. You cannot live. You can't be fruitful. You can't be joyful. You can't glorify God. You can't abide in my love unless you abide in me. We must abide in him. So what does abide mean? It means surrender, dependence, seeking his presence, listening to his voice, walking in trust, being obedient, longing for that intimacy wherever you are, whatever you do, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, and that's how we sustain ourselves over the long haul. Why am I stretching this to you, Sarah? Because you'd say, well, we know that she's already doing this. Because we're prone to pride, no matter how strong we are, and we can get content. And when we get too content in ourselves, we're open to live in the flesh and not the spirit. The second reason is because you are going into a place where it's going to be difficult and challenging. And that's why verse 2 is so important to understand. What does Jesus tell us in verse 2? Every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes it so it'll even be more fruitful. Look, I know, and you know, and everyone in this room who's walked with the Lord knows that no one wants to be pruned by God, because pruning involves cutting, it's painful, and not anybody wants trials, persecution, afflictions, hardships, temptations. But in order for us to be more fruitful and to be more glorifying to God and to keep abiding, God prunes it and permits things into our lives so that we will depend on him. So, Sarah, when the loneliness comes, and it's going to come, when that oppressive heat and dust that we talked about comes and it's overwhelming, when you may see little response in your ministry and shake your head, when the language just seems too impossible to learn, or you have a disagreement with your staff team over a ministry decision, or you're having friction with your roommate, or your health becomes poor, or you feel like you're just so tired that you can't go on, or you're just overwhelmed with satanic attack of discouragement, despair, cynicism, temptations that just seem relentless, we must hold on to that truth. God is pruning me through this. God is pruning me so I will be more fruitful, so I can go deeper, deeper, and deeper into Jesus. And what does Jesus promise if we walk through it? Inner joy. And joy is that understanding that he's with us in the pruning. He's with us in the blessings. And there always is a purpose to his pruning, and that is to make us more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we can hold on to that, that's when the calm, that's when the peace, that's when the contentment, that's when the joy comes. Because you know that's all is happening is because you have a loving vine dresser who's taking care of the vine and the branches. And it comes from a loving hand of God. Everyone in this room and me will say the same thing. Jesus loves you. You know that. We've seen it. You experience it. And he's never going to forsake you. But this is a passage you have to keep before you in your heart. It's a passage you have to wrestle with and meditate on, because when it gets hard, the thing that you're going to hold on to is the vine, and that's what's going to sustain you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your loving words in this passage for your own. You love them to the end, and you've given yourself as an example. You abided in your Father. You clung to him. You depended on him, and he flowed through you. Help us to cling to you, to depend on you, to seek you. And when difficulties come for us or for Sarah, help us to know that the pruning is because you love us and you want us to be more fruitful. Thank you, Jesus, for calling this young woman and loving her.